I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? We're here. We're awake.
Wide awake today.
Whoa, I've had 3 cups of coffee. And it's in the middle of the day.
I drank some water and ate Subway, and I had these protein chips instead of just regular Doritos.
Ooh, those will wake you up. And those will wake up your biceps.
Oh, yeah, they'll get you fucking jacked.
Except I've been eating garbage lately, so I'll probably get sleepy really fast.
I've been eating garbage mostly, too.
Yeah, I'm in a weird time, in a weird transitionary period in my life, and so it's just garbage in, garbage out right now.
Here's my meals yesterday.
Okay.
It went like this. Lemonade and a donut.
Nice.
A McDouble and some fries. Mm-hmm. Spicy ramen.
Ooh, baby.
Pumpkin pie.
Nice.
That's what I ate, and my body was very mad at me.
Let's see what I had. I had 2 bowls of Raisin Bran Crunch.
That's fine.
Raisin Bran Crunch, really good. Then I had a cheeseburger from a bodega.
Okay.
And then I had a large Rice Krispie treat that had M&Ms within it.
That sounds great.
And then I had a lot from this bag of, I found this at the bodega as well. It's assorted wafer snacks. I don't know if you can see that.
I like those.
Oh, they're great. And so, because I always like, to the New Yorkers listening, there's always different wafer snacks at different bodegas. And you always want, you're like, ooh, more than one of these look good, but I don't want to get a bunch. And so I'd never seen an assortment like this. And it's been a big fan. Meg, before we got on, Mike, you wanted to talk to me about food robots. What the fuck are you talking about?
So you don't know about Coco?
No.
So I guess it's DoorDash uses a thing called Coco now with certain restaurants. My kids and I were at a ramen place that's really popular down here because it was my daughter's birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And they had like 3 of these Cocos there, these little, like, they look like shoeboxes but bigger on like all-terrain wheels.
Okay.
And they have a flag on top. Basically, they like put the food in this box on wheels, and it's like driven by a drone pilot. So like they can see, they have like a video feed, and it will drive down the street and like cross streets, and I had my kids running around in front of it back and forth to be a-holes, and mm-hmm. then it sped away from us. So it's like these robots that share the sidewalk with you, cross streets, and bring food to people instead of delivery drivers.
Unfortunate for the delivery drivers, but
yeah, but then they have the drone driver.
Yeah,
from...
I guess I'd rather be a drone driver than a delivery driver.
Right? I don't know. Because the tip goes to the drone driver, because what's the Coco going to do with money?
Yeah, the robots can't spend money.
They just can't.
Unless you reprogram it to do so. That's one step closer to a dystopia.
It really is. And it's you know what's awful is they get to use the sidewalk like everybody else.
Oh.
It's like so classist right now.
We don't have Coco here.
Yeah, Coco, does Coco pay taxes?
Oh, they fucking better.
Yeah, because if they use our public works, like
drone pilot pays taxes.
But the, I'm just saying.
Because like Coco's not an entity. Coco doesn't have intelligence, right? It's like a remote control car.
I think this is a slippery slope. You know,
it's a slippery slope. That's true.
Because it has utility and it has the ability to have artificial intelligence. I think it probably has the ability to stop itself and, you know, to adapt to its surroundings.
It couldn't like rebel on its operator, could it?
I mean, that's yet to be seen.
Okay.
I haven't seen that happen yet, but I feel like, knock on wood.
I'd say as soon as a Coco rebels against operator, murdering him or her, then they should start paying taxes.
You know, it's going to happen now, and they're going to post, they're going to find this podcast. This is how our podcast is getting on the mail.
You know what? There's a lot of incriminating clips of this podcast. I'd like any of them to blow up.
That'd be wonderful.
Guys, we watched El Camino: A Breaking Bad Movie.
Yes.
It's a film, a feature film that came out about 2 months before we started this podcast.
Was it just, yeah, it was like January of 2020.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be weird to talk about. I don't know if we should go scene to scene like we normally do, because I think we'll be here for like 4 hours.
Yeah, let's not do that. I was hoping to not make this a 2 hour long process.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be 2 hours, but not 4 hours is what I'm saying.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie because it came out, 6 years after the show wrapped.
Yeah.
Show wrapped 2013 and... I don't know. It's like, what was your vibe? How'd you feel?
It was weird. It was a weird one. I didn't hate it. It's weird, though.
It both doesn't work as a movie and doesn't really work as a piece of television, but still kind of works, is how I feel about it.
It's just like, very rarely can I point out, I don't even know how to describe this, but like any one episode of Breaking Bad being... So one thing or another, this was like a treasure hunt Western in a certain way. And that is just not true of Breaking Bad. There's never like, this episode's a comedy. This one's a pirate motif. Like, you know, this is why I think I was like, what the fuck's happening in this?
It's weird. The series of events is weirdly similar to The Rise of Skywalker, which is just like, we got to find a thing that leads us to another thing.
Yeah. It just kind of is an endless, like I said, it's a treasure hunt. Like, how many times was he like, my whole goal here is money, and that's it. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, I do, so, I like that it exists, because if I have one, I have a lot of qualms with the series finale of Breaking Bad, but my biggest one is that Jesse gets done a little dirty in it. He's barely in it.
Oh, Jesse Plemons?
No, Jesse the character.
Oh, he's in it all the time.
No, the series finale, though. He's barely in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. He's in. He has like 3 minutes worth of screen time. Mm-hmm. He has like one line and he yells and leaves.
Yeah, and also my other like issue with the last three episodes is if there's three episodes left and you're like, Jesse was imprisoned for 6 months and it just fucked him up, but we don't have enough time to really dive into it. And so I like that this movie exists to kind of do that.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Okay. I mean, like, I think what the thing that I take issue with the most is that it's weird, and I can't stop stressing that enough, is that, like, they did some really ambitious, they introduced what I think was their most ambitious character yet in the fifth season, and I'm not talking about Lydia, I'm talking about Todd.
Okay.
And Todd was way more involved in this than I expected him to be. I didn't think Todd would be that integral to the plot of this.
Yeah.
That like we would think about him at all. But it just like they like kind of tried to explore Todd even more, and I'm like, he's too much. Like, what were we thinking?
I love the Todd stuff so much. So much. It's my favorite part. Because once the point where the movie loses me a little bit is once you get past the Todd stuff and then it's all about the fucking welding guy.
Yeah, it's weird to end on the welding guy.
Yeah.
The guy we just meet for the first time.
And he's like a big part of the second half, because they pretend to be cops, and then they're not cops, and then he has to help him out, and then you're like, oh, but he met him before, and then he's like, it's Old West. Old West now.
Gosh. What?
It's
like,
weird.
In what world? I don't know. And also, like, It's that level of Joker planning that had to have happened in order for Jesse to be successful there, where he's got the 22 and the snub nose.
Yeah.
That was like, did you know he was going to challenge you to a duel? Were you always using it as a misdirect? Like,
I think he just is like, I got an extra gun so that no one can see me reach for the gun.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a joke. I buy that a little bit more, but...
You think it's on? Okay, I won't harp on it then. But
I thought the whole thing was stupid. You texted me when it was happening. You're like, "This is stupid," but I still liked it.
So, but like, just that scene. Like, I don't hate. I'm frustrated throughout the whole movie. That's what I am. I'm frustrated.
Really?
I'm frustrated the entire movie because I'm like, Jesse, especially after he gets like $330,000 or whatever. It's like, you could probably figure something out with that.
True.
You could probably figure something out.
Robert Forrester says as much.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker says it.
Forrest Whitaker, sorry, I forgot his real name.
Yeah. He says, like, you travel by night, whatever. There's, like, I just feel as though it could have shook out a tiny bit differently. But instead, it's like, I'm trapped in Albuquerque because Forrest Whitaker doesn't want to let me get by with just an $1,800 difference, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I still like that. I don't know why. I can't explain. I can't defend it. I just... Getting a new identity sounds hard.
Sure.
I don't know who you pay. Who do you ask?
No, you're right. I don't know. I wasn't sure if you could piecemeal it. Like, if Forrest Whitaker offers you, like, I can't relocate you, but I can give you the credentials or something. And that is just, like, 50 grand. But you have to get there yourself.
It could have been like, hey, you're a vacuum boy now, and you work for me.
And you live downstairs, mm-hmm. and if someone comes around, you scamper away, and mm-hmm. I'll bring you a Hershey bar every night.
And we don't talk. We just don't talk. This is the last of us talking. I don't know. I don't know. It's great to see Forrest Whitaker. fun fact. I don't know. Not fun fact. Did you know he died the day this premiered?
I had no idea. I knew he died recently, but I didn't know it was that. I didn't know how that worked out.
It was the exact same day.
That's sad timing.
I think this might be his last movie.
That's weird for him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Weird credit.
R.I.P. We like him.
Yeah, did a great job. His actual name is Robert Forrester. I'm sorry. I know.
Forrest Whitaker is very much alive. You guys, shut up. We're not saying Forrest Whitaker's dead. Actually, he's not dead, right? Okay, we're going to check real quick if Forrest Whitaker's dead. Forrest Whitaker. I can't spell him. Oh, shit. He's not dead. Okay.
Yeah. He's not dead. Nice misdirect.
How many kids do you have?
Forrest Whitaker has 5 kids.
He's got 4 kids, Meg. You should know this.
Why?
Is he married, single, or divorced?
Divorced twice.
Divorced once. Well, separated, it says.
So then he's just separated?
He's
from
just separated, I guess.
So you're saying I have a chance?
Yeah, you have a chance. If him and Keisha Nash are officially donezo, then yeah, you have a chance.
I'm gonna shoot my shot.
Yeah, shoot your shot. What do you have to lose?
Literally nothing.
What's his most recent movie? Respect. Oh, it's about Aretha Franklin. Okay,
that makes sense.
He's in a movie about Aretha Franklin. He's second build. Okay, so we're not gonna go through the scene by scene, but I guess this movie's kind of like. That's why it's weird that it's a movie, because it's like, there's chunks, right? There's like very specific chunks. I guess it's cool it opens up with like not a chunk, but him and Mike chit-chatting. That was fun. Do you like having Mike back? Do you like seeing him?
Yeah, I was hoping to see more of him. I don't know. I like seeing Mike. Sorry, I was going to go off a tangent, but I'll save it. I'll hold it.
And also, was it weird not knowing what was going to happen? Because every other episode, you know, this is the first time you've been at the end of a timeline.
True. Yeah. I mean, like, in some respects, in the flashbacks of this, I knew what was going to happen, as you did too.
When the flashbacks, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, you're right. I could never say with 100% certainty, like, well, we know Jesse doesn't die here. Like, mm-hmm. I had a strong feeling they wouldn't kill off Jesse halfway through the movie. But
we're not a weird backwards podcast anymore. We're a basic ass fucking normal. We watched a thing and talk about it podcast.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know.
We're much too cool for that.
Well, unfortunately, the numbers didn't agree. So that's what we are. Do you wish we would have watched this first?
No, I don't have any qualms about how we did it, period. I truly, you always said it was a standalone narrative, and it really is.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, I guess because there is some little taste of Walter there, it would have really fucked with me to be like, what's going on? And I would have heard those news reports about, like, people I didn't know, and I would have been confused even more.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it seems like it... I think this went the way it was supposed to go.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, it was so new when this came out, so I wasn't even, because I came up with this podcast idea before El Camino was out. And I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. So it starts off with Mike and Jesse, and they're just kind of like, hey, you should move to Alaska. I'm a mentor.
Yeah, but he's like a very begrudging mentor. He's like, I don't know, man. Don't ask me. I don't know nothing about nothing.
Do you know when in Breaking Bad this took place? Because you can kind of figure out when each of the flashbacks took place in the narrative of the
show. This one is in between. It's the one where he's like, well, he says, I'm out. So I have to imagine it's, you know, I guess I don't remember exactly when, but I know it's before he gets killed, obviously.
yeah, it's when they're about to make that. It's after the kid died, and they're about to make that deal to sell the methylamine for like $5 million each.
Oh, to Declan or whatever.
Yeah. It's when they're about to go to Walt with that deal. And so they're talking here. They're like, he's not going to go for it. And he's like, yes. But it doesn't matter. We'll do it. yeah. Oh, I forgot to tell. Sorry. There's a lot of fun backstory on this movie. That's kind of fun to sneak in there because we don't really have that for each individual episode, which we have now. Did you know this was shot entirely in secret?
No. So it wasn't like in the trades or anything?
No, it was called Greenbrier, and it was filmed. A lot of people thought it was an inkling that it might be a Breaking Bad movie. Walter's cameo was he was on a Broadway play at the time, and they flew him in on a 2-day break in a private jet, and that's why he has a bald cap on. I don't know if you noticed that.
I thought he looked like his hair was a little bulbousy, like he looked like he had an alien head.
Yeah, he does. It's weird. And
yeah,
that was so secret. That's just friends and family as extras there.
Oh wow!
In that diner scene, and a couple people like saw the tray or the RV parked outside, and were like, "What? What's going on?" And apparently, the crew were told a lie and be like, "Oh, it's like a tourist thing. We're doing like a tour."
Oh.
There's no Bryan Cranston in there. No. He's kissing Adam's dad. But yeah, so the big chunk after the river is Jesse and Skinny Pete and Badger hanging out. This is like the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and that's when, obviously movies are set up in two chunks, like by virtue of being acts, and this one even more definitively so. We have like the first act, which is very much like Jesse getting on his feet and getting the cops off his tail a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like traumatized. He keeps imagining he's back in the cage, which is the stuff I liked because, yeah, like I said, they've dropped this huge fucking life event on Jesse in 3 episodes left in a television show.
Yeah, he's a slave, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, he's a slave for a little bit. It was a rough patch. Rough.
He was there for 6 months, and he watched his girlfriend get murdered.
Mm-hmm. And it was a bummer, but we have some Walt stuff we need to figure out, so, you know.
Good God. He went through a lot. I'm surprised he stuck it out. I would have been sure that he went through that. Oh, no. This is recording on my stupid... I don't know what happened. This is recording not on my... What happened? Shit.
Do you want to hit pause, 1, 2, 3, and then...
So I can hit pause, 1, 2, 3, get it on my snowball mic?
Hit stop. And is it starting where it was?
Yeah, it started where it was.
Okay, cool. And then I can just edit those together. That's fine.
Okay, sorry about that. I am so sorry.
No, it happens.
The audio should have improved dramatically at this
That's
point.
Fine. Guys, we fixed Meg's microphone. what were we talking about?
Bald caps? No. It was about the friendship between these
Oh, yeah, you really
boys.
Liked this. This is my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, this is absolutely my favorite part of the movie. And it's largely because I never see men this supportive of one another. Like, they really care for their friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like when, when he's showering and he's like, hey, man, we got Axe. We got cologne. Whatever you want, man.
But also, one of the things that's kind of wild about it is the day before, they were, like, getting paid off, or maybe 1.5 days before, they were getting paid off to pretend to be snipers, and now they're just, like, fucking around, and then Jesse shows up. Like,
yeah,
they've got to be really... There's a lot going on for Badger and Skinny Pete here.
They're probably like, sweet payday! They probably bought that game with their money.
That's true, and those chairs, right? Is that what they spent their money
on?
Oh,
they bet, yeah. Well, then they gave a bunch of their money to Jesse.
Yeah, they just had handfuls of money. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this part's great. I want some good lines from it. He's like, got clean towels over there? Kinda.
Obsession for men? Yeah, I got him that for Christmas.
He brings his gun in the shower, which is an odd choice, because I don't think guns should get wet.
Destroy your gun?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, my gun, I would never bring in the shower.
You have a couple guns, and you will leave them, like, outside on the
outside, sink. Under the pillow. I put them in the dishwasher, but not when I'm running the dishwasher.
Oh, yeah, because you never know when you're going to need to be like, okay, I see that you have a gun pointed at me. If you don't mind, I would just like a cup of wah, boom, boom,
boom. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I also keep 5 guns on my stool. The stool in my room. I have 5 guns on it.
Yeah, and they're not as small as you'd think, those guns.
It's 5 machine guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'd think that's all his guns. There's no more hidden around. You're wrong.
But now the whole internet knows.
Come at me, internet. With all of my guns that are real, and I have. And permits for all of them for any law enforcement entities listening. Even though I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to have them in New York.
So they want to get rid of the El Camino that Jesse has driven over to Skinny Pete's house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hot. We find out. Well,
before they realize it's hot, they get old Jack. They get old Jack over there.
Joe.
Old shit. Joe. Jack's the Nazi.
Yes, he is. Old Joe. And he's like, pleasure to see ya. You're a good kid. You did a lot of good business for me. I didn't think the magnets would work. This car's hot. I gotta go. You better take off too.
Yeah, apparently LoJack, the same way they found his bouncing car, it like activates right when he's happens to be like going like click click on it. Because I assume the police department's like following all leads and looking for Todd, right? Because it's Todd's car.
Well, Todd's dead body is there. They know Todd.
Yeah, and so they're like, oop, this dead body's car is gone.
Yeah, I think that must be it.
Must be. Real quick, so they do this little car swap thing, right? Badger's taking Skinny Pete's car to the border to pretend that it was Jesse escaping to Mexico, and Skinny Pete's and then Jesse's taking Badger's car. Meg, what were these cars?
A Ferrera?
Oh my God. Wait, whoa, okay, so real quick. What was the Badger's car, the one Jesse takes?
The Ferrera, right?
Oh my God. Make?
I don't know.
It's a Pontiac Fiero?
Fiero. Okay, Fiero, sorry.
And then do you know Skinny Pete's?
I don't. What was that one?
It's a Ford Thunderbird, Meg.
Oh, okay.
You're a car person. I thought you'd know
that. Did they even show Skinny Pete's car?
I don't know. Yeah, they did. He did show Badger driving in a way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was a Thunderbird, that blue thing?
Allegedly.
Okay.
According to the dorks at the Breaking Bad wiki.
It's got to be true.
It must be true. And this ends with my favorite line of the movie. I did not think my favorite line of the movie would be spoken by Skinny Pete. Which is
what does he say?
Jesse goes like, why are you doing this? He goes, you're my hero and shit. That like makes me cry.
He's his hero, but for cooking meth.
And for being a businessman.
Really?
I don't know. Not just the meth.
He's like a successful drug dealer, I guess.
Yeah, and he's got like a good attitude. And he made $1 million. And he orders pizza for his friends. And he seems nice. And he's nice.
It is interesting, with the exception of Badger, they do show that, like, Skinny Pete had potential to be so much more than he was. Obviously, Jesse did. He was, a great artist. Could have been, like, an illustrator or something like that. It seems like, you know, they're just they're definitely trying to do something with that, too. Like, they're not capitalizing on these druggies' inherent talents. Mm-hmm. We don't value their gifts enough, essentially.
No. Yeah, Badger's right where he needs to be.
Yeah, Badger spins signs and, you know,
spends an hour and a half on the toilet every day.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? Right?
I feel like a man that size must need to.
I've been spending a lot of extra time on the toilet lately, and I don't know why.
You're going to get a pronated anus.
Oh. Well.
I don't know if that's true, but...
Is that good or bad?
Bad. It's
oh, that's
bad
not something
thing
you want? You don't want a pronated anus? That's not something you would normally go to, like, a jeweler for? That's, that's a bad thing you don't want to have? You have to go to a doctor if it happens?
I think so, yeah.
Should I Google pronated anus?
I don't even know if it's a thing, but yeah, please Google pronated anus.
Pronated anus. Okay, so Meg, it took me to a page called Rectal Prolapse. We're going to click on that. Occurs when part or all of the wall of the rectum slides out of place. Jesus.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the
pink
sock?
So it's a pink sock. Pink sock.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a pink sock.
Jinx, yeah. Okay, no, I don't think I'm close to that. I think I got a while. I got a few more bathroom trips.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'm close. No, that one's not. We've got a little time.
We're on top of it. Okay, so that's the end of this chunk.
Yeah. We see that, lo and behold, like, every single police officer in Albuquerque is coming to find him. 100%.
Yeah.
Like... And he's like, oh, don't look at me. I'm just a guy, you
I'm
know.
Just, oh, boy. Oh, I have a hat. You've never seen me with a hat. So that's why.
It is interesting that he chooses to, like, shave everything and cut his hair. And, like, even, like, it's strange that Badger here is more, like, emotionally intelligent when, like, Skinny Pete's like, why'd you do that? And then Badger's like, he's looking sharp. Like, yeah. You know. Good yeah. friends, man. Good friends.
They're good friends. And maybe, like, we should see all, like, junky idiot weirdos as, like, oh, potential great friends.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I think. Okay, so the next big chunk is kind of the juxtaposition of Jesse's flashbacks about Todd and his little trip he takes with Todd, and also Jesse searching Todd's house fruitlessly.
Yes.
This one will probably take a little bit of time on because this part's cool.
I think it's the weirdest fucking thing ever. But
I love it.
So Jesse, you know, comes to Jesse's in the hole, right?
Yeah, he's
and
in the hole.
And Todd's like, Uncle Jack took everybody water skiing, but I decided to stay here and hang out with you so that you could help me with something. What do you say? And if you say no or leave, I'll kill that little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse's like, okay, well, hands tied, I guess.
And then he combs his hair.
Yeah, and, like, we're going to take better care of it. It's almost like there is some time the way Jesse acted this, you know, behaved during these scenes, that it seemed like he was a dog to me. Like,
yeah,
it seemed
like
he was a pet.
I think that's definitely intended.
So, yeah, they're on this trip together. Jesse behaves much like a dog during all of this.
He has to, like, yeah. He has to hide his head down on the seat.
But, like, even, like, how he was, like, petting him and stuff, you know.
I forgot. And then,
like,
he,
when he gets out, yeah. Like, your hair, we gotta make you look presentable. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, in this Jesse goes to the house in present day and it's dark and we don't really know why.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, we go to Todd's apartment. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely place. It's much nicer than I was expecting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's got a tarantula, which is fucked up because it's that kid he killed.
Yeah, so this is the thing I have a lot of trouble with, is that they just go and they're like, season 5, Breaking Bad, we're going to introduce this little Aryan man. Seems like a go-getter, hard worker, is a crook. Like, he's a break-and-enter artist.
Uh-huh.
And also... he's a psychopath and he kills people and his uncles, they're all Nazis. And it's kind of like, what? Wait, like, we're just meeting this guy now? Like, and not the first episode of the season. We're meeting him like 5 episodes in. That is a lot to lay on somebody.
I don't know. I think they do a good job. I think it's a bit because of, it's a product of the fact that they had to, like, kill off a bunch of people at the end of season 4 because they didn't know if they were going to get another season. So that was the finale. Or that,
yeah, I understand why it happened. I'm just like, it was a bold choice.
It could have, yeah. Yeah, it could have ended up much worse than it was. I think it's pretty good.
Okay, but so to introduce a psychopath who like takes Voldemort type like prizes from people and holds on to them is weird to me. You know,
it's like Voldemort like prizes. What do you mean by that?
Like his Horcruxes, he would take like souvenirs from his victims, and that's what Todd's doing, right?
Oh, right.
Just weird.
Yeah.
Also,
he's fat now.
Yeah, I remember this being a thing. I mean, listen, not everybody looked so good in this movie. Like, Jesse looks like he put on some weight in
yeah,
the past 6 years.
Gained like 100 pounds. It's fine. Apparently, the actor is, like, trouble losing weight. Like, it's actually, like, hard for him physically.
Yeah. And he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bold that they, like, put him this much. Be like, you look like a totally different person, but fuck it. Your performance was great, so we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd hate to, like, think that... I just feel bad that everybody is like, and now he's fat. And it's not like, I know
I think
you're
he
not
got
being...
fat for a role, and then it just had trouble putting it, getting rid of it.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. He was fat in Fargo, where he met his now wife, Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
And that part, I'm pretty sure, like... called for him being fat knowing
that
his part.
Makes sense for like a North Dakota
maybe he was just fat coincidentally, but I'm pretty sure like that was gained on purpose, and then right. It was like uh-oh, hard to lose.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just feel bad for the guy because like I remember when this was like something people were talking about, like mm-hmm. Andy's fat, and I would hate that. Would be like my living hell if people were like paying yeah. that much attention to my body. So I feel bad for it, you know? But I guess that's what you get for living in the public eye, you know?
He also gets to have $1 million and be married to Kirsten Dunst, so I don't
and
feel
they
bad.
They make babies together.
And make babies with her.
Yeah, so she must be into it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in love?
Oh, my God. It's been so long.
It would be incredible.
Oh, my God. To Such fall a feeling. In love. Oh, my gosh.
Just to text someone... Hey, I just wanted to say hi, babe.
Just yeah,
to
just
say that to
you.
Someone?
Yeah,
thinking
every
of you. Yeah.
Morning, you know?
Oh my God, yeah. That was weird you weren't here when I woke up, and I just wanted to let you know I missed you.
I don't think I'll ever find another person.
Same.
Ever. It'll just be like that forever.
But anyway, yeah, that's what it's like between Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst.
They're in love.
They're in love.
They're crazy about each other. And they go on camping trips and they wake up and they're like, oh, just to have a couple minutes alone with you is enough.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
I bet it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, the point of this whole chunk is that Todd killed his housekeeper. That's why we're here.
Yeah. And he's very laissez-faire about it. Like, he's like, yeah, you know.
Such a good performance.
She saw my money, so I had to kill her. It's like, why didn't you just give her some and she would have shut the fuck up?
God, my favorite line is when Jesse's like, what, so she stole your money? He goes, what? No. No, she was as honest as the day is long.
Yeah.
she just found it.
Yeah, and then he strangles her with his belt and then takes the belt off her neck and puts it on. And it's very like, ho-hum, doo-doo-doo.
Well, you don't
want
to lose
it.
A belt, Meg.
It's hard to, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, because it's hard to get a good belt you like.
Why does he need a belt? Don't his pants, can't they stay up on his own?
I guess, but it's nice to have that security of a belt, you know.
Not when you have to take a poo. I don't
that's
know. That's
true.
A dumb thing to say. They have to like roll her up in a carpet, and this was the part that was most like a dog when like Jesse whistles, and then I'm sorry, when Todd whistles and Jesse like pops over the side, is like, whoa, like.
And then he throws that body down and just slam.
Yeah, and I do feel like they were able to pick her up together much easier than it actually would be to pick up a human being who's dead.
I've never lifted a dead body.
Yeah, but you've probably picked up someone who was dead weight before, right? Like being all floppy. If you have a child who does not want to be picked up, they go completely limp. And that 30 or 40 pounds is way more difficult to pick up and... steady because like, I don't know, it's difficult, man. It's harder than picking up a 40-pound weight.
I don't know. Yeah, I've never had a child.
Well, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. there's also that scene where he's telling him about it and he's making soup, and that's fun. That felt like a acting exercise. All right, you're going to be making soup, but here's the thing. Don't talk about the soup. You're talking about something else. Because that's like, I don't know, any beginner improv class, they'll be like, all right, we're going to give you an activity. You're baking. And then every student will be like, man, these cookies sure are good. And they're like, don't talk about the baking. And it's really hard.
Well, he does talk about the soup a little bit, at least.
A little. He's like, you want some soup? I got all this soup. All right. And then he just starts cooking it and talking about how much he fucking loves his housekeeper. And he's pissed he has to kill her.
Yeah.
Oh, this movie rules. Oh, man. I like it more each time I view it.
And then, so then they're driving. Todd's driving and he's singing his song. And I never heard it before. And it seems like a fake song, but it apparently is a song by what? Jim Morrison or some shit?
Let me find. Oh, I can't find it. This wiki's very not comprehensive. But I can't find it. Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. Music featured. Oh God, there's so many. I don't know. Call Me the Breeze is a Lynyrd Skynyrd song that was in it. Maybe it was that.
Okay.
We're gonna say it's that.
Okay.
We don't know. Yeah, Jesse has to sleep with the dead body.
Yeah, he's gotta lay in the back of the El Camino with the hard top on the trunk, and it's all because
I forgot about the hard top. I love the Sorry, I know I was like, let's not do scene by scene, but now I'm like, there's just bits I'm remembering. When they grab the hardtop and it's in the empty pool, and he goes, hey, check this out, and he pretends to jump in the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, just get, there's no water.
Yeah, like as though you couldn't tell that immediately.
Yeah, Todd just wants to have a good time, but like but people get in the way, so he has to murder them.
Crazy, like he's nuts.
Yeah, ugh, they should have a spinoff about him.
No, I don't want to see that. You know what? I think he's weird. I can't help it.
Yeah. Anyway, Jesse grabs his gun.
Yeah, because they bury her out in the pretty desert, and then Todd talks him down from shooting him. And I guess that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you want some pepperoni pizza? And I would have held out. I would have been like, pepperoni pizza, RC Cola. I want an ice cream sandwich.
You're holding out for RC Cola?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
You,
okay.
You could Coca-Cola, have Coca-Cola.
I want a Coca-Cola, but it's got to be from McDonald's is what I would say.
Oh, McDonald's fountain Coca-Cola is so good.
I know. It's because they transport the Coca-Cola syrup in these metal canisters and it helps keep the syrup better or some shit.
I mean, duh. Obviously, I know this.
Oh, I didn't know
no,
you
No, I'm just kidding.
That.
I didn't know that. That's very fun, though. I'm a Sprite-man, but I do like McDonald's Sprite a lot.
You know, I used to like be like quite the soda fan myself. Uh-huh. And not anymore, really. But Sprite used to be my go-to because I couldn't have caffeine. But also, I thought it was the best with sushi, which is a weird combination.
Ah, that's fun.
Now, I could not imagine drinking soda and eating sushi. That sounds terrible.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, that what sounds, was wrong with me?
That sounds one. That sounds not that much different than like just eating cereal with soda instead of milk.
Why would I do it?
I don't know.
I shouldn't do it.
I guess if you go to a sushi place in the mall, they'll be like, do you want a Coke?
Well, yeah, or not. I mean, like any restaurant will bring you a soda. I just, you know, I used to be a soda fiend and now I just drink water or sake.
I like unsweetened iced tea.
I can't have that.
Why can't you? Oh, because the caffeine?
Yeah.
Man, get caffeine the trots. Rules.
Anyhow.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, how do you feel about. Because this is a good acting scene for Aaron Paul. A lot of face acting here. How'd you feel about Aaron Paul's performance in the whole movie?
The whole movie?
Yeah, did you think he was good?
You know, the only time I didn't like his acting is the scene in Forrest Whitaker's vacuum repair shop where he's like, calls the
it's
cops.
Funny each time you say Forrest Whitaker.
I thought that was the bit. I was convinced.
It's very, I know, but it's funny. It's like your bit, but I am just like a guest in it.
When he goes to Forrest Whitaker's vacuum shop and he's like, Forrest Whitaker calls the cops and then he comes back, he's like, okay, buckaroo, there's, you know what, you're cops. And I thought the way he was acting there, I didn't buy, but everything else I thought was good. Yeah.
Yeah. He does good caged animal scared acting.
Yeah. 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 But tough guy or I called you on your bullshit acting. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because he's a wiener.
Yeah, he is a wiener. So he gets like extra squirrely for it.
Yeah. And then they bury it, and then that's the kind of the end of the Todd stuff, is where he's just like, man, what a sunset.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I thought for sure, I mean, if I were Jesse in this situation, I would have been afraid Todd would have killed me after I gave the gun back, you know?
I'm assuming what was going through his head is, fuck, if I kill Todd, oh God, then it'll get back to them and they'll kill Brock.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, and he's just, I don't know, he's dealt with a big trauma, so.
No, yeah, he's got kind of, what do they call it? Not Munchausen's by proxies, but what's the other one? Like Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Munchausen's by proxy is when you are trying to make your child sick so you can take care of them.
Oh, yeah, no, I know about that.
It's scary.
It's from the movie Sixth Sense.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it is in the movie Sixth Sense.
Oh, okay, I was like, it's from a lot of stuff. It's from life.
Yeah, it's not just made from the movies. It's featured in Sixth Sense.
Was it Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, the one that, the first time I heard of it, it's that mom who took, made a daughter, her daughter stay in a wheelchair.
The daughter, like, killed her mom.
Yeah, the daughter started, like, fucking a guy online, and it's like, I'm gonna kill my mom, and then she did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand, because her name was, like, Sunshine or some shit like that, yeah, right? Which is, like, already, like, the mom had it coming.
The mom was a character. I just remember the look of her.
What was the daughter? It was, like, something like...
Gypsy Rose.
Yeah, that's similar to Sunshine.
And she had all sorts of, like, quote-unquote conditions, but it...
Because she had, like... false teeth and fake hair or no hair.
She had so many certs. She had like a stomach too, but she didn't need it.
Yeah.
I remember they made a Hulu drama of this, and I remember the mom was played by someone like, I think, good looking.
And the mom is not good looking. Yeah.
The mom is a wild looking woman in real life. I'm looking at her right now. Wait, who plays the mom? Holy shit. Yeah, I just found another picture of the mom. Where is it? Oh, the act. Okay, sorry. Who plays her? She's played by Patricia Arquette.
Yeah. And in reality, the mom is like you said, something to behold.
I think Kathy Bates is the only famous person that could actually play her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I bet Kathy Bates is sick of those roles.
Yeah, I bet. But Patricia Arquette's great, so I'm fine to see her in anything. Okay, sorry guys, but this is what you're here for, right?
Us. It's really a podcast about us. Yeah.
We get that cool scene where Jesse's tearing up the apartment. Did you like that? That was fun.
Yeah, the classic apartment.
That overhead shot where you see all the rooms. That's cool.
That was pretty cool, actually. Actually, my son came out of the bedroom during that, and he watched that scene too.
Did he like it?
He was mad. So no,
he was mad. He's trying to find the money because Todd said, oh man, if I can, I have a hiding space in mind.
It's gonna take some engineering. I thought it was in the bricks of the fireplace. I thought it was like,
yeah, it doesn't feel like it'd take that much engineering to just
undo
the
door off of the fridge. Yeah,
but Jesse finds it, he finds the spot, and this leads us to our next little chunk. Our least favorite little chunk, which is the fake cops investigating the house.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, they find Jesse, and Jesse thinks they're cops, but they turn out to not be cops, and they, you know, con him into putting his gun down and getting arrested, and I guess he didn't need to, but he probably would have been caught had he gotten a shootout with those guys, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I do love... It's when you watch it a second time, you realize the reason the second guy knew something was going on was because his friend goes, "Hey, Lieutenant," and he's like, "I'm not a lieutenant." He wouldn't have said that unless something's going on, which is fun. And I love when Jesse's in the closet and he's like, "I'm no cop killer."
Yeah,
give me your gun, and then he shimmies out on his back.
You thought that was sexy?
I thought it was sexy. I thought it was sexy of Aaron Paul to do.
Yeah, the man reeks of sex. He can't help it.
No, it glistens off of him. Yeah, these two are weirdos. I don't know.
Yeah, so the dark-haired guy is from Righteous Gemstones, so I knew he was going to come back because he's like having a moment right now.
Okay.
The wiry skinny guy I thought wasn't going to be very important. The neighbor comes and he's like,
oh, that's some fun comedy with the neighbor. Sorry.
Yeah. The neighbor's like, you want a handwriting sample? I got a lot. Like, he's just a lonely old man who wants in on the action.
He has that great line where he's like, don't react. I found the money. Can you just keep that guy talking for 5 minutes? And then the neighbor's like, ever since I got the Brita, I've noticed the tea tastes considerably better.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. Did you have any idea that they weren't cops?
No, obviously not until, well, actually there wasn't when they're like, we're fresh out of business cards. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that. But no, I didn't know until they started to tie him up that they weren't cops.
Yeah. It's weird. They used an extension cable and it's like, you're not supposed to do that. They don't teach you that in police school.
Yeah. Yeah.
They teach you handcuffs.
Yeah, they also would have immediately radioed down, like, we've got an assailant. Like, he would have not gone into that scene without people coming up if there were cops.
Fair, yeah. But yeah, then he just kind of makes that deal. He's like, hey, I know where the money is. You're never going to find it. So, you know, help me, I help you. And they find it.
And then he starts taking it, and he says he's going to take his half. But the guy's like, no way, thirds. You've already got yours. Because he's going to kill Jesse, but it's like, it's pretty stupid to do that.
Jesse talks him out of him. He's like, hey, if you shoot me, a bunch of people are going to hear it, and you have to pick up my brains.
Yeah, and you got a lot of explaining to do.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I hate splaining!
I don't like to splain. And then Jesse leaves, but it's not until he's outside that he realizes that he knows the guy at the candy welding company.
Yeah, one of the cops has a truck.
Yeah, and so the one thing that I thought was interesting here, and I asked you, like, I knew it was the guy. I knew, but I'm not sure how to phrase this. Like, the way they presented that information where, like, Jesse was like, oh, fuck, it's you. And the guy's like, yeah, motherfucker, it's me. Mm-hmm. I was like, did we see this guy ever before?
Like, no.
But the answer is no.
He's only in the film.
Yes.
He never got cast in Breaking Bad, so fuck him.
Yeah, he's just a fucking dweeb.
He can eat shit.
And die.
Yeah. Do you think they should add more F words in this? I feel like there could have been a few more F words.
Absolutely. 100%.
There was a handful. But not enough. Also, I feel like now is a good time to talk about the fact that Jesse never goes to Wendy.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
She's such good help. She was such good help. She offered to kill people for you.
She, just for meth, at least. I mean, maybe because he knew that he had nothing to barter with her for.
That's true. He doesn't have. That's fair.
Maybe she's only good if you have meth. I don't know.
That's true. And it's hard to get meth, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
With all the narcs out there.
Maybe in the 6 months since he's been gone, Wendy's straightened up and found herself a husband. Like,
but
I don't
know. He finding that out? Facebook?
I'm just saying, like, maybe he did see it off camera. He was like, I miss her so much. Mm-hmm. That's one of, like, four women we see Jesse with throughout the whole series.
Are you saying that it's, like, too few or too many?
I say that any one of them is particularly important, and Wendy is important here because we see her with the booby lady from the pilot. We see him with the booby lady from the pilot.
Okay.
We see him with Wendy,
uh-huh,
who he has sex with without a condom. That bonds for life. Then we see him with what's her nuts, Jane. And then we see him with what?
I don't know her name. I just said Eileen.
Andrea.
I don't know. Andrea. Her name's not Eileen.
That's weird. That's a weird collection of lovers.
If they were all in a room together, what do you think they talk about?
Him. And only him. Because that's women talk about when they're together.
Do you ever have that weird, I don't know, dream or daydream where, like, everyone you've ever had sex with is in a room talking?
No.
Oh.
And I imagine if they were, they'd be like, she's wild, just out of control.
I feel like everyone in my room would be like, we've moved on.
Yeah, they would all go like, things just weren't the same after that. And a lot of them would go, that was my first time doing that. And they go, me too. And I go, yeah.
I just meant like, which ones would be friends?
None of them. They all would stare down at each other, except my ex, who would be nice to almost all of them.
Yeah.
Except for one.
I feel like all mine would be nice, and like a few of them might start a podcast together.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like one from college and one from like a few years ago. Who knows?
They might be friends.
They might be like, hey, shit. We would have never met except for this weird, convoluted daydream scenario where we're all in a room for no reason.
That's wild. I don't want to think about any of these men anymore.
I know. Sorry.
Now I'm stuck with it.
Yeah. Anywho's.
My one ex would try to talk about sports with all of them. Last one of them.
The one, the fun, the nice ex?
Yeah. He would. He would go out of his way to be like, have you watched baseball lately?
And then he'd
talk about collegiate sports with them for a little bit. It would be weird. Maybe not basketball, though. But whatever team the person was wearing, he'd go, hey, you know, go Broncos or whatever.
And he would do that.
And you know what? People wouldn't know what to make of it, but you couldn't fault him for it.
You couldn't. No, he's a nice fella. I remember when I met him. I was like, he's a charmer.
Yeah, he really is sweet.
Okay. Next, he searches every vacuum cleaner in town, every one of them.
Yeah, we only see him search one, though, in reality. Yeah, but we get the inference that he searched all of them.
This is told, guys, show don't tell. All the other places are crossed off in his phone book page. Write that down in your screen writing notebook.
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. And we get Forrest Whitaker.
And
I don't know if you knew this. He died the day this came out.
You already told me that, Adam. I'm worried about you. Do you not remember?
I do not.
Oh, no.
No. No, I remember, but I just wanted to bring it up again.
Why?
Because it's
cool. It's a sad thing to think about.
Yeah, right? Mortality? Fucking right.
But, I mean, how does it work?
Mortality?
What if the things we do on this plane of existence affect the good-lookingness and our sexual prowess of our eternal being? And then if I was a real shithead, I'd have, like, a real ugly next-dimensional form.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Is that how it works, you think?
I hope not.
I'm gonna get hotter.
I'm gonna be gross.
No, I think you'll be fine. You'll be fine. No, I think I might have, like, a lazy eye or something.
I feel like I'm gonna have, like, one long hair that comes out of my dick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I had an ex who had one long hair that grew out of his forehead. It was disgusting.
Ew!
Yeah.
And gosh.
Sometimes I'd sneak up on him while he was sleeping and pluck it, and he'd get really mad. And I'd go,
I have one long hair that comes out of my neck.
This was the middle of his forehead, and it curled, and it was very, like, fine and translucent, but it was troubling. And it was like, why don't you... And it grew really fast. And I don't understand why anybody would want that there.
Oh, man. I have another one that grows out of my arm that I miss sometimes. I think it's real long.
I don't know about any long hairs. And so that's going to mean when I do find them, they'll be all the longer.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's got a handful of really long hairs. I got a bunch out of my head.
Oh, yeah, you do. You do have a bunch out of your head.
Yeah. Okay, the whole deal with this scene, here's what's going on, guys. Jesse's trying to buy this man, Forrest Whitaker's services, and he's like, my brother's trying to FaceTime me. Actually, here, he's always wanted to be on an episode. Can I?
Yeah, sure, for sure.
Hey, Evan, you're on Breaking Backwards.
Oh, wait, are you on?
Yeah, we're on the movie. We're talking about. What are your thoughts on El Camino?
Are you watching it in reverse?
No, watched it in regular order. You can't watch a movie.
So it took a chance FaceTime for me to finally get on the damn podcast.
Yeah, but you're on, baby. Tell the listeners what your thoughts on El Camino are. Also, say hi to Meg.
Meg,
hi.
What's up?
She can't. You can't hear her. I'm sorry. She can hear you.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. How far into the episode are you?
We're about an hour in.
Oh, nice. So about halfway through. Yeah. They drag on and on. Just kidding.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Well, I wish Lady Baby was awake so I could
her
be on the podcast.
Oh, she's asleep?
The Lady Baby's asleep?
Yeah.
Well, Evan, what did you think about El Camino?
Well, first of all, let me just be the first to congratulate you both. What a journey it's been.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What a journey it's been is what I said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I'm happy you guys saw it through. I was day one listener, even though you had some questionable pandemic takes early on.
We did.
Hot takes.
But El Camino was fine, I think.
That's where we're kind of landing.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't bad.
Meg thought it was really weird. And I thought.
Have we talked about Fat Landry yet?
We have talked about Fat Landry. Fat Jesse Plemons, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that at length. And then this is the third time I've seen it, and I do think it does get better on repeat viewings once you kind of know what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's good.
It's weird because it doesn't work as like a movie or as an episode of TV is my take.
Yeah, it's got an all-time, I really enjoy it. I do this sometimes in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
If like I'm being like having a bad day or being dramatic, I'll just like sit there with like my hands on the wall and like the water rushing over me, just like contemplating life.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
Jesse does that and he's like cutting his hair and
do you take
washing all the Nazi grime off of him, that's like an all-timer.
Do you take your gun in the shower with you?
Yeah, usually multiple guns.
Yep, me too. We were talking about all my guns on the podcast earlier. Yeah. How many guns do you have right now?
Speaking of guns, you're looking good right now.
Oh, thank you. Holy shit, guys.
Yeah.
I feel bad because Meg's just kind of sitting.
Why isn't Meg interacting with me?
Because she's coming through my headphones, so you can't hear her. And if I take my headphones off and she could talk, there'd be a shit ton of echo.
Oh, well, okay.
So
she doesn't have anything against me, does she?
No, she's talking.
Cool,
I don't have anything against you, Evan. I'm sorry.
She just said, I don't have anything against you.
You seem nice.
No, that's okay.
She says you seem nice. She says we'll try to pencil you in to an episode. She says we'll try to make it work.
Get me on Better Call Saul season 4. Maybe it'll be fun in my time to be an actual guest.
We'll do it. We'll pencil you in. We'll pencil you in.
Well, again, let me be the first to congratulate you.
Okay, thank you.
Both. Happy for you both.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. Well, keep listening. And the show's going to keep going. Don't worry.
All right. Merry Heisenberg to you both.
Mighty fine Heisenberg to you as well.
Right, see you.
Bye.
I couldn't actually hear everything he said, but were they
happy? Yeah, he said he's congratulated us, and he said a mighty fine Heisenberg to you both. And
That's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, we should probably have him on. He actually really does like the show. That was fun. Where are we talking about?
I don't know.
We're at the vacuum cleaner store.
Oh,
and the whole thing is he has enough money, but Forrest Whitaker wants him to pay for the last time too, and that now Jesse's $1,800 short.
I am surprised that he didn't make do by coming up. Forrest Whitaker seems like the type of person who would have gone in like been like, your dude didn't show, pay up, and like got some money out of Sal, considering that Sal uses his stuff later as well.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I guess. Oh, because Saul made the call originally, didn't he?
Saul made the call. He had a bunch of cash, but he didn't make it sound like the cash was for Forrest Whitaker. He made it sound like this is for your new life. Go get it together.
Mm.
So it feels like to me, given that so many people have now been relocated via this service, that he would have made his money somewhere. That being said, sure, ring this guy dry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you didn't like the 911 call or Jesse's acting during it.
Jesse's acting. I knew it had to have been real, you know?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought he did a good job. It was the one time we get old Jesse.
Yeah. So it's like season one Jesse. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess we get season one Jesse kind of during the Walter flashback, which we'll get to, but, where he's like false confidence, weird, like not gangster Jesse.
Yeah.
They have to like keep you on the line.
Dude, yeah. When he calls back after the cops leave, and this is a thing that blows me away, that this line came back, is that when he says, your bond is your word, which is what, like,
your word is your bond, yeah.
Yeah, it's, your word is your bond. This is what Clovis says to him when he's like short on cash and needs the RV moved. So there is a part of me that's like, why is this? Why do you give a shit what this other junkyard guy said? I don't know.
Well, I think that's a common phrase, right? Your word is
no.
Your
bond.
Is that, that's what people say all the time.
One time, Adam. When?
I said it to my dad when we made a deal one time.
What deals are you having with your dad that are that level? Like,
We went in on some real estate and...
You went into real estate.
Yeah, but I didn't have any money because I don't have a job. So he just did both and he goes, your word is your bond. And I go, yeah, pops. And now we both own a building.
What building?
I owe him money, but my word is my bond. What?
What building?
It's a gas station in rural Iowa, if you must know.
Does it have breakfast pizza?
It has breakfast. Oh, so much. It doesn't even have gas. People come in for gas all the time. We upsell them the pizza. That's the point. Because we go, the only gas you'll get here is farts.
Ah, that checks out. Mm-hmm. So Forrest Whitaker goes, it is? Mm-hmm. And then Jesse's like, gotta get her money. And
yeah,
then,
he does that little weird heel turn where he lies to the cops. He goes, yeah, he had a big tattoo on his forehead.
Right over here.
Yeah.
Very weird. Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess he didn't have any interest in getting that guy in trouble. Because, yeah, it would have made his operation more suspicious. So,
Did you like the return of the Pinkman parents?
I mean, they're kind of wieners, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Both the man and the woman. So the answer is...
They look the exact same. Didn't age a day.
Yeah, I thought the mom would have aged badly, but now seeing the mom, I don't think she aged badly at all. I think
she's the exact same.
Yeah, both... just the exact same.
We literally just watched their episode from over 10 years ago, and they've not changed. Oh, do you hear a motorcycle?
No, I didn't hear the motorcycle.
Was
it
motorcycle
a fat hog?
It's a fat hog. Yep, it goes vroom, vroom, oink, oink.
Yeah,
that hog. Ooh, here's some slop, motorcycle. There's some slop for you to eat.
Okay. So then Jesse calls his parents because I guess maybe he thought he was going to be able to rob them, but it turns out they just keep little cute guns.
I think he was trying to get the guns.
Really? You don't think he was just trying to get the money?
I feel like he should have just gotten a bunch of shit he could pawn. And
yeah.
Gotten the money. That would have been the thing. Because $1,800, I don't know. You can get
you can
that. Steal some.
Yeah.
Steal some candlesticks.
Yeah.
Pawn.
But then you'd have to go into a pawn shop, which I'm sure they're watching, right?
Oh, they probably are. I've never set foot inside a pawn shop.
I never. I don't think I have, but I don't know. I lived in downtown Chicago. There's a lot of them there. But anyhow, he calls his parents and they're like, we'll come meet you at the duck pond, but they were just going to catch their son. What a shitty parents. What shitty parents?
Well, they were being nice. They were like just going to go pick him up on
World. No, but then the undercover cops followed them to the pond.
I think the cops are just tailing them. I don't think they realized the cops were there.
Oh, I think they realized.
I think Jesse was doing that to get the cops and the parents just out of there. That's my read.
Really? I thought they were like, because they were like, turn yourself in, Jesse. So I thought they figured they knew the cops were outside and watching them and had a... Maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe they are posted up outside that house without them knowing. But
I guess it's open for interpretation.
Yeah. I think the parents are wieners enough that they would have done that. That they would have turned in their own son.
Their other son's in London.
Yeah, just...
He's on a band trip.
Yeah, probably getting his first blowjob, if I had to guess.
Oh, yeah. Of course
yeah.
He's doing that.
Oh, my God.
You're getting your first blowjob in England?
I mean, but
wonderful.
Just on a band trip. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Model UN kids, oh, my God, the hooking up.
Yeah.
Forget it. So band, I have to imagine, is crazy.
I'm going to suck your dick now.
I say we're going to suck your dick in front of the big band.
As soon as the bobbies are gone...
I had joked around with my son how I wished, like, one man ever would talk to me in Cockney rhyming slang. And now he'll be like, all right, Mom, why don't you take your bacons up the apples and pears? And,
God, having kids sounds great.
No, it's the worst, but, sometimes they get mad at you, for nothing. They come out.
I get like that too. Ooh, I should call my mom right now and let her have it.
Yeah, get your mom on the horn.
get put on the horn and be like, hey, fuck you, Mom.
You guys, I was asleep, and then Avery was playing video games too loud, and now I'm awake, and I hate everyone. You're like, oh, no.
What video games does Avery play? I know what video games Brock plays.
The same video games Brock plays.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. When that new Mario Party comes out, you guys got to get it.
We'll see how the old bank account's doing.
Same. I can't get a game right now. I want to. Jesse takes his two guns. They're two old guns.
Yeah.
And he takes them to... Mr. Candy's, or what's his name? Candy Welding? I don't fucking
know. Candy Welding. What a weird, pivotal scene with characters we just met.
Yeah, that's the weakest part of the movie, I think.
Yeah.
The trailer was, like, built around this scene, too.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
The trailer, it's like, stuff, 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 music stops, and then you don't see the welder, but you just hear someone off screen going, well, you ready? And then you see Jesse go, yeah, I'm ready. And then El Camino coming out, like, blah, blah, blah. Before this, we find out how he knows the welder. He built, or I guess he didn't build the leash, because Jesse would have known about the leash already.
Yeah.
But Jesse got out of the leash at some point, and he made the leash stronger.
Well, he didn't get out of the leash. He got out of the pit.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Maybe the guy built the pit. Maybe that's how we can finally get the explanation of where the fuck the pit came from.
Maybe. That makes sense. Yeah, what's that pit for? We don't know.
Yeah, we were like, why is there this pit here?
For tools. That's where they put tools normally.
How would that make sense? They're like, you gotta go into this pit. It's 11 feet deep to get your tools? Like how?
Yeah, like your hammers and chisels and whatnot.
Why would that be? I think
because that's where they go.
Could we not just agree that this guy built the pit so that I can finally get a good night's sleep for time in a year and a half?
Fine. Ugh. Yeah, that's, and they make Jesse, which actually kind of looks fun, where he gets to run really fast.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing it would suck is that the wear and tear would do on your pelvis, right?
Yeah, your tummy would hurt.
Yeah.
And they also kind of treat him like a dog here again.
Yeah, and they're just, like, taking bets on him, and it seems all demoralizing. And I think this scene honestly just serves to justify Jesse's actions in the next scene. Yeah.
Because he can't kill Kenny or Jack, because they're already dead.
Yeah.
Well, killed him.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, after the strippers leave, strippers.
Can I bring up one other thing?
Sure.
Why the fuck? I mean, it's weird how they do it with Todd, right? Because Todd is like, come on, guys. It's going to be hard for him to cook meth if he has a broken leg. And it's like he's trying to protect Jesse a little bit.
He always does, kind of. He gives him ice cream.
Why?
Because Todd's like, because Todd's psychopathness is like, he'll do what it takes, like he'll kill you, but like, he's not going to be a dick about it. Like, he's like, hey, we had a good relationship here. Ah, shit. This kid saw, well, sucks, click, bang.
Yeah.
I feel like that's totally a character. He's not like his sadism comes because he's like not scroungy. He's not like, but like just, he's off.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't have the ability to just fucking sit and think for a minute. So maybe that's it, but yeah, there is a part of it that's like, why are you, like, he's okay with making this guy a meth slave, yet he still is like, don't, come on, this is, you know, demoralizing for him. It's a weird, whatever's going on in there, whatever, like, fucked up, like, little monkey, wind up monkey that clangs, it's like symbols together, that is his brain. Uh-huh. It's got, like, I cannot follow his logic at all.
Yeah. I can. Maybe I must. Oh, fuck.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Oof.
You've let a lot of roommates live that have just
That's true.
You.
I have done that.
You had a really annoying roommate recently that, like, you would have killed if you were crazy, I think.
Is it the roommate? Oh, the man?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't great. Not the one I currently have, who we've talked about on this podcast. I like him.
He seems nice, but he fell in love like a
He fell in love.
Ding-dong.
I'm so sad. I have to move out and not live with him, and I'm sad about it.
Ah.
I have to move in with a new roommate.
You'd never come home and it's like tense between you? I don't know how to have a roommate.
Not really.
I don't know how to have a roommate
he's great.
At all.
He doesn't listen to this podcast, which fucking blows, but he's nice. Okay, well, then we get the Wild West shootout. Pew, pew, bang, bang.
But first, there's strippers.
Oh, yeah, the strippers come, and that's why Jesse has to go, and he's like, I'll have a few flashbacks behind the shed while they leave. That's where those flashbacks come from. And then he just kind of walks in.
Yeah, why? If they were doing so much coke that they eventually all would have shit themselves into sleep. Like, why did he not just wait for that moment?
Because I guess if he didn't know where the money was, I don't know.
He found it in a goddamn, like,
the guy told him where it was. He goes, my money's in the top drawer up there.
And he did. It's funny. He plays, like, the same character on Righteous Gemstones, almost. In terms of, like, he's a little bit more unhinged on Righteous Gemstones. He's 100% more unhinged on Righteous Gemstones. Like, he's crazy. But, like, this is absolutely something his character would have done. And like, let's have a shootout for it. Like, Jesus, this guy's already cast into a ton.
Yeah. Vince Gilligan loves Westerns.
Does he?
This movie, yeah. This, like, that's why the show sometimes is kind of filmed like a Western. Like, especially, like, think about the Say My Name thing.
Yeah.
And this is definitely the most Western-y thing he's done.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid. You think it's stupid because
really like
it's a stupid fucking thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I really
man,
like it.
There's literally no man I know that's this egotistical who's just like, I got this. You're 22 against my blah, blah, blah. And then
I mean, people used to duel. It's a real thing that has happened.
Yeah, but nobody anymore.
I don't know, man. Are you friends with that many people who, like, do a bunch of coke and, like, fuck around with strippers all the time?
I live in Hollywood. Like,
they're different. No, that's true. You do.
Like, I'm,
you live in Marina Del Rey.
True. But, like, I'm in L.A. I definitely... You'd be surprised the type of stuff that people tell me they do. Obviously not that's with fair. Guns. But, you know, I would not be surprised if I knew somebody who was like, oh, yeah, here's my gun drawer. And I also do cocaine. And I like, I don't know.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. But did you have fun during the scene?
I was just confused as to why anybody would like, there is no voice of reason in the whole group of men who are all like, this is stupid. What are you doing? Like, here, buddy, you need $1,800 or fuck off. We're going to call the cops or whatever. Like, what was the point of any of this other than to get him enough money to get on his feet? Like, now he has enough to pay the guy back and to be okay for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that his jacket catches on fire. That's fun.
That is very fun.
I like that he shoots the squirrely guy in the head.
Yeah, sure I knew it like was that. Coming and I covered it up.
Oh, yeah, he shoots him in the head.
I knew it was about... it was only just that moment I knew and I blocked it.
Yeah. It happens real quick though, because they're firing at each other for a while.
Yeah.
And then he takes the other guy's licenses and he does the thing from Fight Club where he's like, I know where you live now.
Yeah.
I'll fucking come after you.
Which is such an empty threat. You know, he's not going to do that.
Mm-mm. Also, my license is like from 4 addresses ago. So I doubt they keep it updated. So after this, he blows the building up, which is, I guess, a good way to cover a body.
Yes.
And then he has a flashback to... Did you know Bryan Cranston was in this film?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, cool.
So,
were you like, oh, whoa.
You know, it really was that thing with the hair cap there. I was just like, why is his head as big as it is? Like, I didn't understand. It looked like he was Megamind to me. And he was, like, so quiet. He was much more... quiet.
Do you know when in Breaking Bad this takes place?
It's right after they have the van die in the middle of the desert. Yeah.
Yep. It's right after that. And it's before they go drop him back off at the airport. So he's a little tie-tie.
Okay. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jesse's in the bath just shoving ice on himself.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a neat little scene. I don't know. Where he's like, just like, go to college. You should go to college.
Yeah. That'd but also nice. Like, why... was he not supportive of Jesse's initial plan for sports medicine? Like, yeah, learn how to be a trainer, for sure.
Because he sucks.
But, like, what? It's always really hard when it's like, Jesse's, like, I have an interest in something genuine that's a career path. And he's like, well, sure, but what about what I want for you? And it's like, well, that sucks that you did that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, he's like an annoying dad who's like, music? Get the fuck out of here. Business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Jesse's about to be a millionaire, so like in their heads at that time.
Yeah.
So it's like, why the fuck does it, who gives a fuck what he does? And then we already talked about the background of this scene, which is kind of fun. And then I think the only bits left are Forrest Whitaker takes him to Alaska.
Yeah, I did say, like, one of the things that I was like, oh, it was right that they didn't include it, was him going back to Forrest Whitaker and Forrest Whitaker setting this up. Like, we needed, everything we needed to see was...
I'm sure that was written at some point in a draft, and then they were just like, take it out of there. You don't need it.
Yeah.
They do one more flashback to Jane.
Yes.
They don't really say much, except for... What does she tell him?
What is the premise of this? Where they're like just driving and then they pull over on the side of a fucking highway?
That actually right here. Apparently, extended scene shows that the car broke down.
Oh, well, I needed that. That's what they cut. They cut too much in that case, you know?
The whole point of this, she's like, he's like, I kind of like what you said about going where the universe takes you. And she's like, that's fucking stupid. That's the whole scene.
And then he drives off, and that's it, basically. Oh, and yeah, we find out he writes a letter to Brock.
Yeah, apparently, this is the last of my fun facts. The movie was going to end with him driving, and then I wish they would have done this voiceover of Jesse of what the letter says.
Mm.
And apparently, the letter was like really good, but Vince Gilligan just decided not to include it.
Aww.
And he's like, that letter made me cry. And I'm like, I really wish they would have included it.
Yeah, well, I want to know what he would have said to Brock.
Yeah, and it would have been like a nice little tearjerker ending about like getting your life straight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shit. That's El Camino.
Holy hell.
What grade do you give it?
This is a good B+. And I'll tell you why. Okay. You wanted it lower? You thought it would be lower?
No, that's good. I would give it an A-. I think on my first watch, I would have given it a B+.
I thought this was the weirdest fucking thing. I thought this was weirder than Fly. I just thought it was fucking weird. And it was frustrating and infuriating that he just would not leave Albuquerque. I had said to you, like, I think that he needs more self-esteem to just take his 200,000 whatevers and go. Like, he has 250K. Leave. Just leave. But instead, he sticks around and risks, you know, everything just to hang out with Forrest Whitaker because he thinks that's the only one who can do it for him. I don't know. I would have just like figured something else out. I don't know.
I like that he needs to go to Forrest Whitaker. I wish he would have visited Wendy. I wish there would have been a flashback of like Gus giving him advice.
Oh, that would have been cool. Good. Maybe Giancarlo was busy.
Yeah. I think I wish it was like a little more cohesive. Instead of, it felt like three episodes of Breaking Bad kind of slapped together.
Yeah.
That's about it, but I do like it. I remember the first time I watched it, I was a little disappointed. Second time I watched it, liked it a lot.
Okay.
And third time, which was this time, enjoyed it quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I'll probably watch it again. I think this is still tonight? A B+ for me, but, not tonight. No, I have to host a sleepover.
Oh, you're hosting a sleepover. How many children are going to be there?
Just one. It's still the pandemic for my kids, but, it is also recently, my daughter's birthday. So, you know,
I forgot those children aren't vaccinated.
It is rough, and I'm supposed to be taking them, you know, around the Southwest, and we'll see how that goes.
Good boy. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we're probably going to take a week off, maybe 2 weeks off. Then we're going to come back with Saul.
Yeah. And buckle up because we've got Forwards Call Saul coming to your ear holes to late July.
Yeah. Watch a few episodes of it. Catch up. Because I know all the tens of you who listen to this, a bunch of you probably haven't watched Better Call Saul. Get started on it. It's on Netflix.
Join
Go watch it now.
With this journey.
I'm trying to get the viewership of that show up personally.
But it's not like it's gonna go away. It's already gonna be done.
Yeah, I know, but I want more people talk. I think the final season of Better Call Saul should like have as much of like everyone's watching as the final season of Game of Thrones.
Okay, that's
and the final season of Breaking Bad, which was like every week, like everyone was watching, and there hasn't been a show like that since Game of Thrones. I don't think.
I guess not.
No. Now it's just like, have you seen Hacks? No, I haven't seen Hacks. Have you seen? What's another show?
Sweet Tooth?
No, I haven't seen Sweet Tooth.
People talk about WandaVision a lot like that.
Yeah, but that was like a one-off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with Loki. I guess people, the Disney shows, they'll talk about.
Loki cannot keep my attention.
Is it? I haven't watched any of the Disney shows.
Yeah, I think you're fine without it.
Disney Plus makes me sad.
Yeah, it's
They edited out an F word from Hamilton to keep it PG-13. Yeah, I know. Fuck that. Well, shit. I guess thanks for
until next
coming
time.
On this journey, guys. Until next time, we need to think of a new catchphrase for.
I don't think we do. I think even if we go on to a different series entirely, I think we just keep this.
We need to think. I need to think of a new theme song. That's for sure.
Is there no theme song for?
There is, but like, what am I gonna do? Put it backwards? That doesn't make sense.
Maybe you could just sing it.
Okay, I'll just sing it.
I don't know. I have literally no idea what it could possibly be. So.
I'll sing it. I'll sing it. I'll play it, but I'll sing over it.
Could you play it on the piano?
I could try.
I don't know. Like, I'm asking these questions sincerely, and you're like, oh, Meg, what a card.
Because I'm bad at piano.
No, you're good. You're fine.
You've never heard me play piano.
Yeah, but you got it back there, so you got to be using
it. I do have it back there, so just by osmosis alone, I should.
Yeah, you should know where the keys are on it.
I do know where the keys are. Do you want to hear a note?
Yeah.
Yell out a note.
E. Okay.
Can you hear that?
Not really. Okay. Not
okay.
Yeah.
That's E.
Okay.
Give me another one.
A. Okay.
Yeah. See? I know where the notes are, but that's about it.
Well, that's better than me.
G! Yeah, baby. All right. This is a long one. We wanted to give a fat one for the final in the Breaking Bad universe.
Yeah, but we're still in the universe. We're just a little bit ahead of schedule. Next series.
Yeah, true. It's not the Breaking Bad. It's the Better Call Saul universe.
It's in the whole unit. It's in the whole pantheon.
It's the Albuquerque. Yeah. Albuquerque circa
mid-2000s. It's the same canon,
mid-2000s.
Right? Like they all...
Yeah, it's same canon.
Yeah.
It's a prequel.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's takes place around my favorite time in history, 2003.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The cell phones are wonderful in it.
Boy, if we get to 2004, I'm going to try to pinpoint when I lost my virginity.
Nice.
In like the timeline of the show.
I think I lost my virginity in 2008, I think. Mm. Yes, we can. Barack Obama. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, guys, until next time, D.
A mighty fine Heisenberg
to you,
fair listeners.
Bye.